A Season of Light by Julie Iramwanya. Table of Contents. Summary of A Season of Light by Julie Iramwanya Part 1. The Prisoners of the Abode Part 2. The Legacy of Force Part 3. The Climax and the Uda Pepper. Part 4. The Exorcism and the Block Party. Summary of A Season of Light by Julie Iramwanya. Setting the Scene. Ekin Lakachi and the Menace of Dreams. The narrative is set in Ekin Lakachi, Florida, in 2014, a place described as an almost town and a Calumet graveyard, populated by Orlando's castoffs, HUD houses, and termite-eaten trailers. The story centers on the Eureka family, Nigerian immigrants who have recently fallen from middle-class stability in Winter Park to the decay of Ekin Lakachi following the mental decline of the patriarch, Fidelis Eureka. Fidelis, a former barrister, begins a swift decline after 276 schoolgirls are kidnapped from Chibok, Nigeria, by terrorists. Although he is far from his homeland, the news triggers latent trauma from his youth as a soldier in the Biafran War. He begins to see the faces of the kidnapped girls in his dreams and eventually confuses his daughter, Amarachi, Amara, with the schoolgirls and his lost younger sister, Ugochi. This leads to a radical and fascist decision. Fidelis locks 16-year-old Amara in her bedroom, declaring she will remain there for all eternity under his protection, which he has confused with possession. Part 1. The Prisoners of the Abode. Fidelis's Madness and the Biafran Revival. Fidelis spends his days listening to the radio Biafra Revivalist Network, obsessed with the sovereignty of the Biafran nation and the 1966 campaigns against the Igbos. He joins an organization called the Fathers of Biafra, FOB, a group of aging veterans who plan to demand the emancipation of Biafra. He maintains a makeshift study in the hallway outside Amara's room, sitting on a flimsy patio chair and reviewing papers with a monocle, while a jumble of wires connects his old computer to the internet. He believes he is standing sentry to prevent his daughter from being stolen, like the Chibok girls or his sister Ugochi. Adobe's Struggle for Sanity. Agatha Adobe Eureka, a music teacher and the family's matriarch, is caught between her duty to her husband and the safety of her children. She views her marriage as a song, where she must provide the counter-melody to Fidelis's intemperate nature. Despite being horrified by Fidelis's actions, at one point boxing him in a fit of rage, she eventually succumbs to the cultural dictates of patriarchy and his strong hand. She tries to maintain a facade of Miss America, respectability, fearing the gossip of her rival, Gertrude Afolabi, and the stigma of mental illness. Adobe eventually seeks spiritual refuge in the kingdom of the second coming of the marvelous Creator and Holy Redeemer, a fringe church led by Pastor John, an albino preacher whom she believes is a divine messenger. Amara's internment and first escape. Amara's life in the bedroom is one of humiliation and squalor. Her father provides her with buckets for bathing and as a makeshift chamber pot, which he empties thrice daily. In her isolation, she turns to drawing beakless birds in flight and fixates on the neighbor, Maxim Kostic, a boy she sees shadowboxing outside his trailer. Amara eventually escapes through her window, intending to hitchhike to the beach with her friends. Instead, she finds her father sleepwalking in the middle of the road. She witnesses a violent car accident when the neighbor, Mr. Kostic, swerves to avoid Fidelis and hits a tree. In the aftermath, Maxim lies to the police to protect both his father and Fidelis, taking the blame for the accident. This creates a secret bond between Amara, Maxim, and her brother Chuck, whom she later discovers is being trained to box by Maxim. Part 2. The Legacy of Force. Chuck and the Underwear Bomber. 14-year-old Chukwudiegwu, Chuck, is appointed by Fidelis as the keeper of the abode, tasked with standing guard over his sister when Fidelis is away. At school, Chuck acts as a court jester to avoid bullies, but in the neighborhood, he is tormented by a boy named Rafi, who nicknames him the Underwear Bomber. This nickname is a stinging reference to a Nigerian terrorist, and it makes Chuck feel extinguished of all hope and embarrassed by his heritage. To defend himself, Chuck accepts boxing lessons from Maxim. Through these lessons, Chuck begins to find a sense of respect and heroism, but he also becomes a confidant to his father's delusions. Fidelis treats him as a comrade and a soldier, entrusting him with mailing secret letters to the fathers of Biafra in Nigeria. Chuck, however, intercepts many of these letters, discovering that they are being returned as undeliverable and contain his father's desperate attempts to find Ugochi. The mystery of Ugochi. The central ghost of the novel is Ugochi, Fidelis's younger sister who disappeared during the Biafran War. Fidelis believes she was taken by enemy soldiers and might still be alive in a foster home in Gabon, Ghana, or even France or Canada. He spends his life savings and his remaining mental energy trying to track her down through the American Red Cross and other relief agencies. The truth, as revealed through Adobe's memories and old documents, is more tragic. Ugochi was raped by a soldier during the war and became pregnant. She refused to medicine the baby away, and eventually went into the evil forest to give birth. Adobe believes Ugochi died there because she could not bear to abandon the child to be reclaimed by the earth. Fidelis, however, has spent decades calcifying with rage and guilt over his failure to protect her. Part 3. The climax and the Uda pepper. The conflict with the caustics. The Eureka's lives are further entangled with the caustics. Maxim's father, Misha Caustic, is a moribund survivalist and a former Soviet soldier who numbs his own wartime nightmares with alcohol. Like Fidelis, Mr. Caustic is a prisoner of war who has brought his fury to America. Tensions peak when Chuck breaks into the Caustic's trailer to retrieve a stolen letter and accidentally triggers Mr. Caustic, who shoots at him with a PSS silent pistol. Meanwhile, Maxim and Amara's budding romance culminates in a terrible first sexual encounter near the river, which leaves Amara feeling disappointed and not exactly unfettered. The attic discovery, the calamity, reaches its height when Amara, now with her hair shorn in a fit of mutiny, explores the attic. She finds a tin box of her father's papers, including a 1968 Red Cross memorandum. The document lists both Ugochi and Fidelis as deceased, revealing that Fidelis has lived his life as a ghost, who was mistakenly marked for dead while someone else was buried in his name. When Amara opens the blue carrier envelope, she is struck by a blaze of pain. Fidelis has booby-trapped his secret documents by sousing them with Uda pepper, a potent Nigerian spice. Amara is temporarily blinded and howls from the pain, while Fidelis, in a walking nightmare, attacks Chuck for conspiring with Satan to harm his sister. Part 4. The Exorcism and the Block Party. The Intervention of Pastor John. Adobe, realizing her husband is finished, initially plans to take the children and flee. However, she chooses a final exorcism by Pastor John instead. On Independence Day, July 4th, Pastor John creates a bonfire on the Eureka's front porch, burning Fidelis's notebooks and the photo of Ugochi to release the family from their demons. He declares that an uncluttered mind has room for new memories. The final reconciliation. The novel concludes with a block party in Ekenlokachi. The Eurikes, once aristocratic and posh, now join their neighbors Haitians, Ghanaians, and Cambodians on the street. Fidelis and Adobe dance together to Bob Marley's Stir It Up, appearing as the bold young couple they once were before the war. Amara, watching them, realizes that their story is a true love story of people who have come over, under, and through the pain. Fidelis, though still fat with regret, finds a moment of grace. He finally speaks the truth of Ugochi to Amara, identifying her as God's eagle and acknowledging that Amara is her living doppelganger. The prescribed burn of the summer has purged the house called War, leaving the family with a complex arrangement of equations that they must navigate with the hope of a new beginning. This summary is for educational purposes only.